Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle here with me. We are moving on from Michigan State. We are looking ahead to Indiana. It's a big weekend ahead. It's the first day of the rest of Penn State's season coming up here. We'll get into the stock up, stock down from the Michigan State game. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 will join us in a little while to talk Michigan State and the state of Penn State's program. Ask Greg your questions, which I get the impression that not all of them are on a positive, upbeat note, and that's okay. That's where we're at right now. So all that stuff is coming up. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And that's probably good advice considering where things are.
Good time for beer.
So the stock report, in the early part of the season, it was a little frustrating to me because we had to look for things to nitpick.
Right.
Now it's flipped a little bit. We have to work a little harder for the positives. Coming off that 21-17 loss to Michigan State, where Penn State had all the opportunities in the world, Greg. All the opportunities. The ball hit the turf four times for Michigan State. Bad bounces. Two interceptions that could have been that bounced right off Amani Arroyo and Garrett Taylor's hands. A lot of opportunities offensively. The offense just – they were stuck in mud or something. It was hard to describe the Penn State passing offense against that Michigan State team. So this is where we are. Let's start with stock up. I want to give you a chance to be positive. Earlier in the week, I gave you 90 seconds to be positive, and then I threw you off track. You never really got that chance.
Right.
So hit me with it. Stock up.
All right. Stock up. Let's see. I'll start, I guess, with Miles Sanders. That's the easiest place to start the bidding. At this point, I think Penn State was expected to not run the football very well against Michigan State. It came into the game as the number one defense in the country. I'm not sure if it exited as such, but here nor there. I just look at this Penn State offensive line. I know some people were frustrated with it at the end of the game, but stock up for Miles Sanders and the offensive line pushing for the rushing attack. It wasn't great after halftime. I'm not going to argue that, but the two big runs put Penn State in place to even be in the game in the first place.
So we touched on this a little bit when we talked about Miles earlier in the week on that 48-yard touchdown run where a big jump cut really sets the stage for that. I thought it. A lot of people thought it, and some people said it out loud that Miles looked like Saquon Barkley on that run.
And, Saquon Barkley.
Nobody
that.
Received that very well, and I think there might be some sensitivity out there, not just the people who listen to this show. That every time early in the year we talked about Miles Sanders, we talked about Saquon
that's
Barkley.
Right. We're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, but this is a little different. I think it's a huge compliment to say that he showed that kind of elusiveness and that dynamic open field ability, because we knew that he had it, but that was just an unbelievable run. And to say that he looked like one of the best young players in the NFL on that run, I just don't see how that's bad. But Saquon Barkley, Bleacher Report put it out, posted it with the highlight on Twitter that says Miles Sanders looking like Saquon at his alma mater. And Saquon retweeted with a comment that says he's looking like Miles Sanders. This man's something different. So all that being said, Miles Sanders looked like Saquon on that run.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He did. A little bit. So it's interesting because Miles Sanders, I think, runs harder than Saquon Barkley. And I don't want that to come off the wrong way, but
a little bit more physical type.
Yeah. And Saquon was just so fast and speedy and elusive that he maybe didn't need to be like that. But Miles is not as fast as Saquon, but when he sees a hole, man, he gets in it. And I think what frustrates Penn State fans and also James Franklin is that there's times he does that and it works perfectly. And then there's times he tries to bounce things outside and there's nowhere to go. And that can be very frustrating. But stock up for him overall.
That Michigan State run defense was giving up 1.3 yards per carry on the year. 1.3. And it looked like a pretty impossible task to really and then especially coming off that Ohio State game where he rushed, what, 48 yards on 16 carries, I think. So on this one, 17 for 162. Penn State goes for 205 as a whole. Miles Sanders averaged 9.5 yards per carry. He lost 1 yard. So right. Not a lot of negative – I mean, one negative yardage play out of that whole group. My only complaint, and this isn't really a stock up or stock down, is I felt like I wanted to see more of him.
Yeah.
Like that maybe you ride that. You take that. Maybe it's not something you anticipated in the game, but you adjust with it on the fly and say, you know what? Let's go with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, I mean, it's nitpicking after the fact. I think KJ Hamler, I say by default, another touchdown. I don't know the number. He's got what, 5 touchdowns on the year?
Sounds right.
Like that. He was the real lone bright spot in this receiving game, and I think there's been too many games where you say that, right? Among the wide receivers, so he goes for 5 catches, 66 yards, another touchdown. The other wide receivers on the roster combined for 8 catches for 76 yards. Not good enough. No DeAndre Tompkins catches in this one. Brandon Polk, 2 for 23. Mack Hippenhammer and Cam Sullivan Brown. I felt like we saw – I don't know what the snap counts were, but I felt like we started to see a little bit more of them
right.
in this game. Certainly, I mean, Hippenhammer, 3 catches for 27 yards. I'm assuming that's a career high catches. Cam Sullivan Brown, 1 catch for 7 yards. I think he was within a fingertips of making at least one other catch.
I would say that sounds right, yeah. So, yeah, stock up for him. I mean, he's the only Penn State receiver that scares anyone at this point. I'm sorry, and I don't like to pile on to a group of players, and I feel like I have with the receiver group over the last 3 weeks. But, Dustin, I mean, Penn State's offense is built on being fun, and how is it fun? It's throwing. The biggest question I got after the game, and the one that was asked the most, was why didn't Penn State throw it out in the field? James Franklin talked around that, and quite honestly, I don't know why, but I think the honest truth is no one gets open downfield. How you can throw it downfield, it's going to be incomplete more often than not because there's no one to throw it to.
It's the reality is it's not part of any of these guys' game other than KJ Hamler, who KJ Hamler's done it in pretty much all different types of routes and different parts of the field again and again and again. He's proven his playmaking ability. I just don't know if Juwan Johnson's built for that. I don't know if Mack Hippenhammer or DeAndre Tompkins is built for that. I felt like DeAndre Tompkins was going to blossom into a role like that. I wanted to see if Juwan Johnson could do that, but nobody really seems to be comfortable making plays down the field, and that's a little bit disappointing. But KJ Hamler, another big effort for him. Good to see him back healthy, first and foremost.
Right.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We're looking at Penn State, back at the Michigan State loss, a little stock report now. We'll look ahead to Indiana coming up after this. Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com for the single game, best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games. There's a free shuttle to Beaver Stadium, a large projection TV, and free Wi-Fi. Good food and drink there in the GoPSURV.com lot. You can check out for all the details, GoPSURV.com. I'm going to include Garrett Taylor in the stock up portion of this.
I think that's fair.
He missed a key interception, whatever. That's one of a dozen plays that could have gone Penn State's way that didn't go Penn State's way. But 5 pass breakups, he did get an interception, made a play on that fake field goal that could have been really bad for Penn State. It looked at the time like that was a game-winning type play.
Yeah. Agreed.
But Penn State's offense just couldn't get it done. I felt like Garrett Taylor had his best game.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. I asked him about that after the game, and he didn't really want to talk about it because obviously it's hard to put in, you know, to talk about your best game when your team lost. I mean, that's just sort of – it's hollow and it doesn't work. So I get it. But at the same time, I do think that you know – when it ultimately comes down to it, he was a big part of the reason why Penn State was even in the game at all. I mean, the defense as a whole was a part of it, and he, we went almost 10 minutes now without any sock down. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we were concerned about
boy,
not having
boy, are we positive people. Definitely in the category.
So let's do stock down, and I put some notes on paper here, and really I wrote stock down almost everybody. Almost everybody. There were a lot of, I think every coach shoulders some part of the blame there. I think a lot of players, I think Trace McSorley wasn't his most accurate day. The wide receivers didn't really come to play outside of KJ Hamler. The defense, to have Felton Davis really ever on an island. You know, I know you're confident in Imani Oruwariye, but late in the game like that, where there's literally one guy on the field who can beat you, I'm not sure why you go one on one on that and you end up getting burned by it. Dropped interceptions. There's a lot of stuff to look in the mirror and try to answer what you're doing as a program to continue this trend of not putting games away. I don't think anybody, certainly not us, I don't think anybody really has any answers right now. I don't think James Franklin has any answers right now. What are they doing, or who are they recruiting, or how are they coaching that leaves them in the position again and again and again against an opponent that, frankly, that they never should have lost?
No, it's a good question. I mean, I think this is a good question, and you can hear Ross Tucker on Thursday's Keystone Sports KSN show. But, I mean, I think he probably would say – I've never played at the level that Ross has, obviously. Never played or coached at the level that James Franklin, his staff, and his players have, obviously.
Even though you deserve to.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case either. But to me, how do you coach making winning plays? I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. I don't have any insight that is profound or anything like that. I mean, what it comes down to is, again, Penn State and these, you know, their formative offense has pretty much been terrible for 5 years now. I mean, let's be honest, it is. And we can talk about fullbacks and under center and all that stuff. It took Michigan State 5 plays and a personal foul penalty from the 1 yard line to score, and guess what, every one of those plays was under center. So I mean, but in terms of stock down, you're right, stock down pretty much program wide. I mean, there wasn't much to win right in this football game, and everyone shares a little bit of the blame for the loss. Stock down too to the people putting Penn State in the Holiday Bowl. They are not going to the Holiday Bowl.
I think that that could be said
every year
every
it comes
year.
Up. Yeah. Every year it comes up. Somebody wants to put him in San Diego. They're
not
going to
San
Diego.
I did not see that stock down coming. I really
I'm
didn't.
Tired of it.
Of
I really
all
am.
All the stock down. I will single out a little bit more of the passing offense. Just not in sync.
It's rare, really, but stock down for Trace McSorley in this one. I mean, I don't know if we've ever had him on the stock down list, but I don't know how you keep him off it.
Well, you being on the Trace McSorley Apologist Club, the president, he'll never make it on there. But I think there's something to be said about not slamming the door as an offense, not putting together that drive that would either kill the clock or put the game out of reach. That hasn't happened very often.
No.
When games are really, truly on the line. Didn't happen in this one either. I would also say stock down. Penn State's pursuit of elite. They went talk about great to elite last week. A lot of people making jokes about that saying they weren't even good against Michigan State. So we'll see. It all starts this weekend coming up against Indiana. We're going to talk about that matchup with the Hoosiers in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.